here's a story from The World.
The Taliban onslaught continues in Afghanistan. The militants captured another provincial capital today that now makes 6 under their control since the U.S. withdrawal began in May. So why does the Afghan military seem unable to stop the advances? Retired U.S. Army Colonel Christopher Kalenda served in Afghanistan and as a high-level advisor to the Department of Defense. Chris, when you see this happening after 20 years of struggle to prop up the Afghan government and its military, what is your reaction?
Well, my emotions, how I feel about it, are a combination of frustration, embarrassment, and anger. I spent a lot of time on the ground in Afghanistan. 6 of my soldiers were killed in action, fighting against the Taliban and other insurgent groups. Scores of my soldiers were wounded. You know, a lot of us spent a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, in Afghanistan. We poured our heart and soul into this effort, and to see the Taliban gain so much territory and the Afghan security forces not be able to rally is frustrating.
During your years of service, Chris, what were your concerns that this scenario would play out if the U.S. ever left Afghanistan?
Well, the Afghan government had to do one thing to be successful, and that's earn the trust of the people, earn the buy-in from the people. And they haven't been able to do that. And as a result, what you're seeing are Afghans who are supporting the Taliban. The Afghan government, in fact, not only didn't earn the trust of enough of its people to prevent an insurgency, but because they engaged in predatory and kleptocratic behavior, they actually turned a number of Afghans away from them and into the arms of the Taliban.
Apparently, the Afghan forces are having some successes stopping the Taliban. Residents of Lashkar Gah, for example, still had to flee Taliban advances, but apparently significant casualties were incurred on the Taliban side there. Still, 6 provisional capitals under Taliban control. Why do you think Afghan forces are having these difficulties subduing the enemy? What's at the heart of this failure?
You've got leaders within the Afghan security forces that their soldiers just simply don't want to fight for. Soldiers don't believe in them. Unfortunately, prices in the Afghan security forces in many positions have gone for sale. The expectation is that they can use the position to make the money back. And so that this undermines their leadership.
So the training and supporting of the Afghan military that was supposed to hold the country after 2 decades by the U.S., were those efforts just inadequate? I mean, what went wrong?
Well, part of it is the leadership and the corruption problem. Big problem number 2 is that they've got a strategy that simply does not work. Unfortunately, through much of the conflict, the U.S. military officers would write the Afghan security force strategy, and then it would be translated into Dari and Pashto. Afghans needed to develop their own strategy. You know, this idea that we would develop it for them and then translate it into their language just meant that they had no buy-in and no ownership. You know, it was primarily that problem where the Afghan security force just didn't have the buy-in, didn't get the repetitions of developing a strategy and trying it, adapting, being innovative. None of those things happened.
So how do you see this playing out? Will the Afghan government be able to hold on? And if they can't, what happens next?
I think you've got 3 broad scenarios for how this plays out. The first one, and the most favorable one, is the Afghan government and security forces sideline these toxic leaders, rally, and fight the Taliban to a stalemate. And if they can do that, then you're going to get serious peace talks. Scenario number 2 is that the Afghan security forces collapse and the Taliban has a takeover, and they manage to get the indiscipline problems under control so that takeover is successful. The scenario that concerns me the most is this 3rd one, in which the Afghan government security forces, you know, sort of fracture, continue fracturing. And then the Taliban experiences catastrophic growth, and they're on the cusp of this right now, where they grow beyond their ability to manage it, and they begin to fragment from within due to internal. You're seeing some of the indiscipline that's a leading indicator of catastrophic growth. Now, if this happens, you get the government and the Taliban both imploding, then what you're going to have are the rise of these sort of warring fiefdoms. And if you get a warring fiefdoms scenario in Afghanistan, then this could be worse than a 1990s civil war.
Personally for you, Chris, I mean, as someone who has invested a lot of time and energy in Afghanistan, is the country a U.S. concern for a while?
I remember talking with Haji Ibrahim in 2010 and just looking into his eyes and you see the frustration and the sadness of Afghanistan's Afghans have been at war for now for over 40 years. And at the same time, you see the disappointment in all of the things that have tried and not worked. And then the hope. I saw all of this in his eyes at once. He's one of the people that, you know, when I wanted to stay involved in Afghanistan, it's relationships with people like him and many, many others that said, you know what, this is worth fighting for. We need to have this partnership for a long time. And it frustrates me that the United States just missed so many opportunities, and the Afghan government missed so many opportunities to bring this war to a successful conclusion. And now here we are with the Taliban taking six capitals in the last few days and poised to take a few more.
Retired Army Colonel Chris Kalenda is the author of Zero Sum Victory, What We're Getting Wrong About War. He's the first American to have fought the Taliban as a commander in combat and engaged them in peace talks. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.